Hey guys, welcome to Right Owl Politics. My name is Ariana Mendez, your host, coming to you from sunny Miami, Florida. Thank you for tuning in. It's February 19, 2021. So a lot has happened this week, and I want to take a pause. And before we jump into the discussion and talk about Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh is a pioneer in conservative talk radio, and I would argue he is a pioneer for anybody that sits behind a microphone. He is a man who created a space for himself and found a product people really wanted to consume, which was news with an opinion. And I think that over the years, he's been vilified a lot by those in mainstream media and on the left of the political spectrum. But his contributions to political thought, and especially American political process, cannot be understated. His passing brings great sadness to the conservative world and to the talk radio world. And this podcast, I know, has been greatly influenced by his history and career. And news of his passing was met with a lot of sadness from this host, especially. So I want to send out a prayer to his wife and to his family. And Rush, we'll miss you. Thank you for being a patriot. So today on the show, we have Ed Dean. Ed Dean is the host of Florida's number one radio talk show host, The Ed Dean Show, and he is also the publisher of FloridaDaily.com. And we talk the full spectrum with Ed Dean. We talk about the passing of Rush Limbaugh. We talk about what it means to be a center-right publication in 2021, the state of the Republican Party, post-Trump era, and a little bit of everything in between. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Hey, Ed Dean, welcome to the show.
Hey, I love it. Right Owl Politics. I love the title.
Well, owl is my spirit animal, and right kind of gives away the political persuasion, right?
Right. Hey, you know, I do a lot of hunting, and I do a lot of turkey hunting, and owls are the bomb. So we see a lot out there. We hear a lot. They are such predators. How about that?
And smart, too.
Yeah, very smart.
Well, thanks for coming. I have to, right out of the gate, ask you about the passing of Rush Limbaugh. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. I mean, we knew it was going south about a year ago. In fact, it was kind of interesting was that when he announced that he had stage four cancer, you know, we were used to talk about this. He announced, what, January of last year, December? And usually you don't make it past 4, 5, 6 months. He made it for almost another year. It's really sad. He's the radio legend, the radio giant. And I was becoming a journalist at the time as a news reporter and on radio when he was already the king. So it's going to be a lot of shoes to fill, and it's going to be interesting to see where a lot of this goes, but he was the man.
Yeah, it was very sad to see him pass. And I agree with you. I think he is basically the giant in talk radio. He was the pioneer for everybody in this space, not just talk radio, but also podcasting. On the conservative side, wouldn't be possible without somebody like him as leading the way, right? And very unique beginning. Started out like a DJ and found his way to political commentary. So it's interesting how life takes you in different paths.
Yeah, just remember, before there was Fox, there was Rush. Rush touched upon an audience that was there. Nobody was speaking for them at the time. By the way, talk radio wasn't that big. And then it just ballooned up, and they make it what it is today.
Which brings me to my next question. How did you get into the talk radio business?
Very simplistic. I was never a DJ. I'm born and raised in Florida. And so I was going to school for, believe it or not, I was going to school for economics and communications and journalism, but I was going to a local community college. Now, I went back in school in the 90s, and back then, you didn't have all the internet. You didn't have big name teachers coming in. So I took what was called courses back then. And then if I wanted to get my AA and then go up to a higher school, I could apply that. And then what happened is in the 90s, I was like, forget this, Ariana. I said, I want to make money. So I was already taking economics. I was an economics editor for on talk radio. And then I was a political reporter for a local newspaper. And then from here on out, it started blowing up. And then I started working for several local. And by the way, I became more conservative as a reporter. How about that? Most of them are usually liberal. I became more conservative covering local issues, especially in the business community. And so I worked for several newspapers. And believe it or not, I stayed the first station I got my break at was the original of one of the 50 stations at Rush Limbaugh. Was show was carrying on out of Melbourne, Florida. And then I got my break with John Harper, who's from your neck of the woods down in Miami, Florida, WIOD and others, and WNWS. And then he gave me my first break in the 90s. And then we went full-blown statewide syndicated in 2014. Sunshine State News called me the new king of Florida talk radio. And you know what? The goal of every free market individual, Ariana, is to become a monopoly. How about that? And instead of trying to compete with 500 radio guys to become nationwide, we dominated the state of Florida, and God gets all the credit. To this day, we still remain number one statewide. And then FloridaDaily.com, been around for 3 years. We're the most followed political publication on Facebook, but now we've had over 1 million hits each month, and we outdo all our competitors. So God gets the credit and all that too.
So what's the secret? Why do people like your content so much?
The content is, it's kind of interesting, is that, for example, I hired Mike Sonnen, who used to work for Fox News. Kevin Derby used to work for Sunshine State News. And what we figure out was that there wasn't much out there. You've got other publications that are left-leaning, even though we're center-right. If you read FloridaDaily.com, you go, man, I think there's a little bit of a slant, but we don't know. That's the way it should be. If conservatives don't, and this is where I think some of my conservative friends are not consistent. If you don't like the way that liberals inject commentary into a news column, then why should you like it coming from conservatives? We are center-right, but when you read our news articles, you'll see that there is a different approach on it. But then again, as a publisher, I got contracts with iHeart, iTunes, Apple, Pandora, Buzzsprout, Stitcher. Pandora. I mean, we got contracts with Fox News Radio for the publication. I mean, iHeart syndicates my radio show as well. So it's, as the role of the publisher is not to write articles, but to sell your product.
Do you use kind of the Fox News formula for that, or did you create your own specific formula?
Well, that's a great question. We do our own news content. We don't copy and paste what is on something else. We have our own news content with our reporters, but we cover a lot of politics and business. And, for example, there's some things we're not the National Enquirer. Like if you hear a dirt story about an elected official who may be angry over something stupid, okay, it may work inside Tallahassee. We're flyer. You know what? Let me answer your question. Everybody wants to be inside baseball. Well, guess what we do? Well, we're Florida Daily in this radio show, Ed Dean Radio. Florida Daily, we're so successful because we hit over the flyover country. Like, well, is what Trump did in 2016. While everybody wants to play inside, we don't care about inside baseball. That only amounts to maybe 1 out of 10, maybe 2 people. We hit the flyover country, and that has become successful because most people don't read all the other news publications because of, and we give them a niche, whether it's business with a lot of issues going on out there. We usually cover issues that just most other content are not covering. For example, I'll give you one. You know, in South Florida, the shutdowns and defund the police, excluding the Cubans down there, which were afraid of the term of socialism, and I understand where they're coming from. The shutdowns and defund the police, we have done articles pre-November election saying that this was not going to help, like Donna Shalala and others. Sure enough, you saw what happened. A lot of the other newspapers just didn't cover it. So you look for the niche, but it's also what sells out there. But we don't do shock jock commentary. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk, inside the beltway type. It's just you find the niche and you go with it. That's why we're so successful on Facebook. I advertise on Facebook. Twitter, we're there, but the Facebook area and, Google, that's where a lot of his success is at. And sometimes you get in feet deep. We went in waist deep and we were ready to swim.
With all the stuff that happened with Parler, are you concerned about being on certain platforms?
No, I have never done. You know, I don't do Parler. It sounds like funeral. Get it? I've never done Parler. We've done quite well, even all the political ads that some of us do on Facebook. We have so many contracts. I got contracts with 12 different news media outlets like Newsbreak app and all that. And we follow our niche and we do advertise on Facebook, but our numbers have blown up, even though Facebook has turned away some of our advertising. I'm not worried about talk radio. I don't think that's going to get regulated. We don't go out and create Area 51. We don't go out and create that, conspiratorial that you'll see on the left. And yes, I admit even some on the right. We just don't go into that trap. And like I said, we've been successful without going down the road of Parler. That was a little crazy, by the way, seeing that. But we've been so successful without having to realize that, hey, we may get deleted. We haven't created a pattern of that way to get red flagged, I guess.
So I hear you describe yourself as center right. What does that mean in 2021?
Well, center right is just always a typical norm. We are a conservative publication, but we don't editorialize our articles. We are straight news. But when I do my articles, I will always expose the left. And by the way, when conservatives are wrong, and they have a tendency to be wrong on big spending and maybe foreign intervention, then we call them out, but we will get quotes from Democrats and we'll get quotes from Republicans out there that talk about the issue. The goal is what you Fox News used to say. We report, you decide. We should lay it out and allow both people to decide that. And that's the way it should be.
Do you think the media will ever go back to just providing straight news, or the numbers just don't support that model anymore?
That is a great question. When I was taking journalism school, it's kind of funny, Ariana, is that I always say this in jest. I was never good looking. I mean, now I'm okay. No, I'm just kidding. No, my health is better in my 40s now. I have to work out, being a type 2 diabetic, and I'm pretty, you know, I had to work. So when I was overweight back in the 90s, and all that, everybody was taking broadcast, TV journalism. I was taking radio broadcast. Nobody wanted to look at me. So nobody wanted to get into newspaper or radio, but they all wanted to, hey, they all look good. The men and women, they knew they could make a lot of money in the TV journalism out there. I mean, if you thought that. And today, when we talk to reporters, it is so interesting. They act like they want to change the world. I got news for you. I didn't get into journalism to change the world. I get into journalism because there was a buck to be made, number one. But number two was to create a content that, I mean, you look at the Miami Herald, the Orlando Sentinel, the Tampa Bay Times, you could just name them all as one publication. They all look the same. You won't see that with Florida Daily.
So do you think that self-righteousness is basically the nail in their coffin?
The self-righteousness, that is a great question. The news media, when you look at the analysis by Gallup or Rasmussen, whoever, gets worse and worse as the approval. Even a lot of Democrats don't trust the media. Of course, conservatives don't as well. I understand that. But the distrust in the media is at its lowest level. And to your, what a great question. To your point, it's because the news media doesn't think they're doing anything wrong. They think that what they're reporting out there is, it's got to stick to the wall. It's got to be like the dart game. Sooner or later, we got to get around the bullseye. They don't believe if their ratings have dropped, it's got nothing to do with them. It's got to do something with you.
Not catering to their customers.
To the marketplace, yeah. I mean, sometimes they do. But I mean, listen, in 2018, 2019, on my radio show, there were days I didn't even want to talk about the Mueller report. Who cared? It got old. You could talk about, for example, Uncle Ben's rice, or like now the Quaker brand, they're getting rid of the Aunt Jemima name to put in, Milling Pearl Mill. That drives up more phone calls than to talk about the Russia hoax. Well, what do you mean, Ed? I mean, it's not like the whole Aunt Jemima, or let's talk about, for example, changing the name of your local public schools. It doesn't get a lot of traction, but if you talk about it about once every couple months, it blows up your readership, it blows up the phone calls. But if you talk about it every day, like we do with the Russia hoax, it just gets old and people are tuning into something else. So yes, you got to know what your audience is ready to listen to.
So what do you think about conservative politics right now? What's next for the Republican Party? Is there a post-Trump era coming, or are we still living in the era of Trump?
You know, I go back to 2008. I remember when Barack H. Obama won, you knew there was a post-mortem, and in 2012, it also as well, when he won re-election, it was like the Republicans, hey, they were gone. Hey, they had to go to hibernation. They had to just kind of see what was going on for like 6 to 8 months. And they made a big, strong comeback. You saw in the summertime of 2009, you had the Tea Party. The Tea Party didn't say, let's take our marbles and go home. They, pardon my language, they had a very clean enema. They went after Democrats and Republicans and were very successful. 2012, in 14, you had a little bit of crazies, but they still were able to dominate. And one of those, of course, was the bad rollout of Obamacare. And then I think what happened is you saw that movement create Trump. I think the Republican establishment created Trump. I got to tell you a quick story. So the group Americans for Prosperity, which is funded by the Koch brothers, I used to what was called Embedded. I would go along with them in the state of Florida in 2015 around the fall and winter time. This is before 2016 and the 16 people running for office debated. And AFP was going knocking on doors saying, hey, what do you guys feel about Medicaid expansion? How do you feel about an issue? They never advocated for a candidate, which is to their credit. And some people go, hey, I just want to let you know, people love to give their opinions, Ariana. They say, hey, we're supporting Trump. And I used to sit back and ask them, and they never endorsed. They say, why are you endorsing Trump? Just as a regular question. They said, we don't think Trump's a conservative, but we're so sick and tired of the Republican establishment going along to getting along. We're going to vote for Trump to send a message. And you saw what happened. Now it's post-Trump. Anybody, we can continue to this day to debate the reasons why. I don't think if COVID had not been around, I think you would have seen a landslide with Trump get in. Having said that, I think post-Trump, it's now between the establishment again and between what is called the MAGA crowd out there, by the way, which are not all Republicans, by the way. A lot of the MAGA crowd is very much non-party affiliation. And this is going to be interesting. McConnell has said, I don't care if they're MAGA people. I want my power back. And there's a good chance they may pick up the U.S. Senate next year by one or two seats. Mm-hmm. But the question is, Trump could be the king of the primaries, and that the candidates can't win the general election. The question is, over the next 7 months, usually, Ariana, usually you see Republicans really kind of just chill out. They have not chilled out. The election is still going for them. And I get news. I don't know where this is going right now. That is the beauty behind it, because usually you can predict these things out. We may not see something happen until maybe the presidential primary, which will start in January, February, in 2 years down the road.
Do you think that there's longevity to this cult of personality surrounding Trump?
There is longevity, but it's going to have to, there's a thing called of the reality world. Take the blue pill, take the red pill, Neo. And I always love to call myself the reality czar, because there is a reality among Republicans. There's just no way that Trump lost. As a person who has to look at numbers, yes, there is. You have to look at the way it is. And we can debate that all left and right, but the bottom line, it has to be based on issues instead of personality. The conservative movement's bigger than anybody else out there. Trump does have a great personality as far as, you know, a lot of people like him because he speaks like one of us. But the bottom line is that if there's a feel that his numbers sink a little bit south, this has to be based on the issues, then the Republican Party is going to have to dive into reality. And the question is all about this third party. The recent Gallup poll came out and said that more Republicans than independents and Democrats support a third. 63% of Republicans support a third party. I got news for you. That will hurt the Republicans and put more Democrats in office.
Oh, I agree. That's just baking in a victory for Democrats moving forward, guaranteed. So I disagree with that. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of frustration out there. And I think that's unfortunately a gut reaction to what happened last November. People are just trying to see, hey, what happened? How can we move forward? Which brings me to my next question. How do you think the McConnells of the world survive this MAGA world we're living in right now?
You know, if you put Trump popularity versus McConnell, Trump's going to win, I mean, 100% of the time, understandably so out there. I'm not convinced that even McConnell he just got reelected. He may not even serve his full term. I mean, we talked about it on the radio show. We're like a political Nostradamus. And then 2 days later, there was a story that came from thehill.com that says that, you know, even if they take over, he may not be able to win the majority seat out there as well. I think McConnell has done well. Let's give credit where credit is due. The Trump tax cuts, the judges. It is not so much Trump. It is Mitch McConnell that got all those judges elected, which to me is really the long-lasting legacy of former President Trump out there. Somebody's going to win. There may be a kumbaya. I don't agree with it. The question is now is, who do you blame for the loss of the U.S. Senate? Do you blame Mitch McConnell? Do you blame Donald Trump? Hey, I call balls and strikes. I voted for Trump, and I'm a Trump guy, but I differ with some Trump. I think Trump cost them the election by going out there and saying that, hey, Dominion voting machines, don't go out and vote. I mean, the Atlantic Journal-Constitution came out and says that there was a major undervote in North Georgia that normally predominantly votes Republican. They didn't show up. And The other avenue is that some of my conservative friends go, well, Mitch McConnell didn't, you know, Trump's going, Mitch McConnell didn't come through and get the $2,000 worth of stimulus. So I'm like, well, wait a second. You mean because Republicans didn't act like liberal Democrats to give more money? So that's going to be the accusation, the reason why we lost, because we weren't liberal enough. Conservatives have got to be a little bit careful though. We don't want to look like Democrats in that argument.
Do you think that McConnell represents that old establishment, what I call country club Republicans, and that doesn't really mesh well with the politics of the party today, which is much more populist and maybe a bit more progressive than historically the Republican Party has been?
Interesting, the term progressive. Yeah, he is the old school. I think you hit it right there. The question is how many are left a part of that old school out there? And you know, the seven Republicans that voted for the impeachment, I think they're all going to get primary. And it was really interesting. It doesn't matter how good these, and I'm not saying you have to agree with Romney or Susan Collins, many times I don't. All I'm saying is these individuals could have done so much for the Republican Party in their states that they represent, but because of that one vote, I'm not saying they're going to lose, but there's a decent chance they're going to have a pretty interesting primary if they decided or choose to get primaried in the next few years.
But I think they knew that going in. I don't think they will be surprised if they are primaried. I think they're confident enough that they'll survive that primary challenge.
I think you're right. But then again, maybe you're giving them too much credit, but you could be right. They're sitting back. I mean, Romney just got it in 2018. Collins just got done. Richard Burr may or may not run. Lara Trump may run for that seat. You know, it's going to be kind of interesting. I mean, listen, I know people that want to go after Marco Rubio because he didn't oppose the election certification. I'm like, well, wait. And I'm like, well, wait, you're going to beat up on Marco? Because, I mean, Rand Paul did the same thing to Marco. He didn't oppose it, but somehow they're going to give Rand Paul a free ride? That doesn't chime with me.
Yeah, that's just throwing a tantrum at that point.
Right.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for coming on the show.
This was good. Let me just tell you something. I get asked to do a lot of these. I say no, but I know that you keep taking away all my audience. I'm trying to bring them back. You're like Trump, and you're making me look like Mitch McConnell now. I'm losing audience.
Ed, like I always tell you, we can share.
I know, man. I know. And thank you. And it's always good to chat with you online. And thanks again for allowing me to be on the podcast.
Of course. Come back anytime.
Thank you.
I want to give a big shout out again to Ed Dean for coming on the show. Thank you so much. It was a fun and interesting interview, and I appreciate it. Guys, life is very interesting. And as we enter a new stage in American politics and we try to make our way out of this COVID crisis, I think all of us on the right, on the left, need to really evaluate ourselves. And as we move forward as a country, what's important to you, listener? What makes you tick? What are the political ideals you want our country to espouse around the world? And we need clear leadership, and we need also a new generation of leadership that is not afraid to call a spade, but also understands that, you know, we're all in this great American journey together. And we need to be able to understand differences of opinion, appreciate differences of opinion, and not vilify each other in the process. With that said, you need to hold your political adversaries accountable, and you need to be able to engage in political discourse when necessary to stop things that could potentially be disastrous for your country. So one can exist with the other. It's not exclusive. And with the passing of Rush Limbaugh, I think you're starting to see a change of the guard as far as the transition to a new generation of people that are sitting behind a microphone and pushing ideas and speaking to an audience. And I think there will continue to be a desire for a brand of entertainment that brings you news in an interesting and in an opinionated way. And the show is exactly that. But as a country, we need to understand a way for us to move forward in a constructive way. And that doesn't mean that you're going to bend your ideals or that you're going to lose your backbone and start compromising what's truly important. It just means we need to understand that differences of opinion are okay. This cancel culture is dangerous. And we cannot continue on this path that you disagreeing with me will result in bad things for you. That it's not the way it should be. A marketplace of ideas, a healthy marketplace of ideas means that everybody has a seat at the table. So I'm excited about the prospect of the future. I think there is hope, but currently I am very disappointed seeing how the media especially is not doing their job, and they prefer to be idealists and carry this imaginary banner of objectivity and do a horrible job at doing so. So let's hold our media accountable. Let's hold our public officials accountable. But most importantly, let's hold ourselves accountable. Change starts at the individual level. And if we are going to grow as a country, we need to go back to the principle of, it's okay that I disagree with you. I'm going to fight you tooth and nail because I disagree with you. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to cancel you. That doesn't mean I'm going to go after your job. That doesn't mean I'm going to go after you personally. It's a big difference and a distinction people need to understand. So I hope we can make it to that stage. So guys, thanks for tuning in. I'm really excited about what's coming up on the show this year. It's going to be a fun ride. And everybody who has supported me since we launched last year, thank you. I appreciate all your love and support. So remember, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you hear your podcasts. We're not your dad's political news show, so spread the word. We bring you news from a conservative and distinctly millennial perspective. So if you know anybody that would like to listen to something like this, let them know we exist. So guys, thank you so much. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week.